will call the February 5th Plan Commission meeting to order. Mr. Deedle, please, or Mr. Fuchs, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson?
Here.
Commissioner Hogan?
Sorry.
Commissioner Thinnes?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Here.
Commissioner Morrow?
Here.
Alderwoman Mayor?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler?
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all. Go to item two, approval of the minutes. In your packets are the minutes from the January 8th meeting. Is there any additions or corrections?
Move approval.
Second.
Discussion, seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item three, public hearings and business items. 3A, Ogden Construction Group, LLC, for a light commercial construction contractor business within the existing building with emphasis on carpentry and painting at 1113 West Forest Home. Mr. Fuchs.
We'll read the public hearing notice.
This is a public hearing. Please do that, yes.
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, February 5th, 2015 at 7 p.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding application by Ogden Construction Group, LLC, for a special use under Standard Industrial Classification Title Number 1542, General Contractors, Non-Residential Buildings, other than industrial buildings and warehouses, to allow for a light commercial construction contractor business use within the existing building with emphasis on carpentry and painting upon property zoned M1 Limited Industrial District and C1 Conservancy District located at 11113 West Forest Home Avenue.
It appears that we have properly noticed this public hearing. Mr. Deedle, would you do the introduction, please?
Thank you. As the public hearing mentioned, the property is located in the Forest Home. The aerial photograph is on the screen. It's an existing building, currently vacant. The two-acre parcel that it's located on, so the building is at the south west corner of the property, so the property extends further to the east or to the right and to the north. So the applicant is wishing to propose the contractor's office in there. Ogden Construction would have their offices and some workshops in the lower level of this building. They would propose to repair and restripe the parking lot to the north of the building, that lighter colored area. They would probably not use the parking lot that's in the front of the building, which is immediately to the west of the building. They also propose to add some parking immediately behind the building, so down there, and that would be gravel, and there would be some concrete or asphalt. So to that extent, the exterior changes would be the addition of some additional parking, the repair of the existing parking. They're proposing to add a little bit of landscaping to the north, and then the fence around the perimeter of those parking areas. Most of their work will be at the inside of the building, although they will be fixing the facade of this building as well. Those materials are in the packet. And then staff is recommending approval with a number of conditions as a special use. The Plan Commission would need to make a recommendation. They could do so this evening if they wish. And that recommendation is forwarded to the Common Council, and the Common Council would have a final decision on this matter.
The applicant here?
Yes.
Would you come on up, say hello, introduce yourself, name and address, please, for the record. Come on up and have a seat. Try to make people comfortable.
I'm Joel Cook, president of Ogden Construction Group. I might just give a bit of a history. We actually, our family business was about three blocks down in Hales Corners, Matt Stark and Sons. We were there several years. That business went under. We opened a new business with Ogden and Company. We were on 21st in Michigan, outgrew that location quite quickly, saw this location, the building fits. Our plan is to take over the lower level, which is the less desirable from a lease space, take over the lower level, and potentially lease the upper levels, knowing that we have to come before you with any tenants that would fit the zoning. We understand that if it was built in 1972, that's about the last time any maintenance or any upkeep was done on this. So we do want to upgrade the facade. Again, those drawings are in your packet. Upgrade the facade. It's an M1 zoning, so I think we fit there, even though it happens to be a special use. My brother Mike here actually lives in Franklin. I don't, but he's a Franklin
Why not?
Taxpayer.
Why not?
I moved out to the country. and I guess that's about it.
Thank you very much. I'll open a public hearing in a let's do the public hearing first. I'll open a public hearing. Is there anyone wishing to speak on the subject? Anyone wishing to be heard? Anyone wishing to be heard? Seeing none, I'll close the public comment period. That was pretty good. Commissioners, questions, comments? Commissioner Fowler.
I noticed that you guys are planning a landscaping for this property, because I've been by this property a couple of times, and it's in dire need of a landscaping.
We're in the process of getting a landscape plan right now. That's one of the staff comments that we first submittal that we'll be turning in probably on Monday or Tuesday.
That was my question if we could see that land. I don't know if the planning commission will get to see that landscaping plan, but at least staff will get a chance to.
Yep, we'll have it to staff by early next week.
All right, thank you very much.
Sure.
Alderman Mayor.
How long has the property been empty?
I think at least 10 years.
Ten
maybe
plus
a little
years.
Bit longer. I'm not exactly sure of the last
completely
time.
Empty.
Completely empty.
Okay. Mm. I'm not 100% sure of that.
It's been a long time.
Probably been
long
a year.
The home center was there. Was the last one that was in there, and I don't know the exact dates, but it's a long time.
Okay.
I live in right down the road off North Cape, and it's been vacant for quite some time.
Joel, was the grass area that you wanted filled in, was that a recommendation or a requirement?
Yep, it's going to be part of the landscaping plans and then also part of the parking or site plan.
We'd like
to see a little bit more along the north property line.
Between you all, yeah, right in there.
And then maybe a little bit more on the west side, where you can see there's some lawn area inside the right-of-way of Loomis Road right now. So we'd probably like to see some there. And it's a suggestion that they plant grass seed in the back for the entire back end of the property. Because at this point in time, they're not asking for any outdoor storage or parking of trucks. And if they wanted to do that, they will have to come back. Both of those would be a special use. So then that's why we're suggesting that they plant grass seed back there. But that one's a suggestion. Recommendation for landscaping along the north, and for a little bit more on the west.
There was a note in here that would impede traffic flow. What is
the only, they were talking about in front of the building. There used to be parking in front of the, right there in front of the building. We're eliminating that parking just because of that, impeding the traffic flow in front of the building. And you're almost right on Forest Home there. So we're eliminating all that parking, and all of our parking is going to be to the north and to the east of the building.
Okay, and then so then that is filled in, but it's in the right of way of the road. Is that
what? Oh, the grass area? No, that grass area is still there. That's currently there.
The grass that's
there
now.
We plan on maintaining that area, keeping it grass.
We'd add a little bit more outside the right of way. Well, that's what our recommendation is.
Okay. Good.
Commissioner Thinnes.
I just have a couple questions. I've been by this place a bunch of times. I've never been behind it. By occupying the lower level, you're talking about the basement?
Correct.
Is there exposure on the back side of
this
thing?
Yes, there is. Overhead doors, the man doors, yes.
In that area still?
Yeah, there's two overhead doors, two man doors.
Okay. Are you only going to be improving two elevations of the building? The two that are shown here?
Well, we do plan on painting the rest of the building, some tuck pointing painting. There really are only two elevations that face Forest Home. The other two elevations face, the back of what was Hale Park Lumber.
And between the gas station there, where you can see, and like you said, that block's going to be tuck pointed, painted, and restored somewhat, but it's not a full.
Okay. These two elevations, though, are the extent of what you're doing with the EFAS and everything on
Correct.
The building.
Correct.
Now, I believe what you have labeled here as the north elevation is in fact the west elevation.
That's correct.
And what's labeled as the east elevation is in fact
is
the north elevation.
Correct. Okay. That's correct.
I think our architect got screwed up before us going being in Angle Street.
Okay.
Commissioner Daly.
I guess I just have a question. The site was here before us not too long ago, different use in mind, and there was a lot of concerns about sprinkling in the building and fire code compliance and things like that. Have we got any issues here that need to be addressed?
The fire department's comments said that they're going to require sprinkling for the entire building.
The applicants are good with that.
We have an agreement with the fire department that basically, as we occupy the building, we have to sprinkle. So we plan on bringing in a new water service, putting in all the sprinkler equipment, sprinkle the lower level where we occupy, and then every tenant that we land upstairs, we'll sprinkle that tenant with a max of 2 years. So if 2 years comes up, we have to do it whether it's leased or not.
Sounds like a reasonable plan.
Any other comments or questions? Does the Plan Commission wish to take action this evening? Is there a motion to recommend approval of a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for a light commercial construction contractor business use upon a property located at 11113 West Forest Home Avenue?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. You've been approved.
Thank you.
It'll go to the Common Council. And
yep.
We should attend.
Wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, we'll be there. Thanks.
Okay, Joel. All right. Item 3B, LaSalle Group Incorporated proposal for Autumn Leaves, approximately 38,000 square foot single story multifamily, 46 unit, 54 bed, CBRF memory care facility. We're using special use option 2 under unified development ordinance in the R8 zoning district. Mr. Deedle.
Just quickly mention there are two public hearings on this item tonight, and then there'll be a third public hearing at the Common Council on Tuesday. So tonight, the public hearings will be on the special use and the natural resource special exception.
So let's do the comprehensive master plan amendment first.
Okay. Or we could do them all jointly together. That's an option.
Yeah, so the hearings have got to be separate.
Okay.
So the comprehensive master plan amendment.
So that one does not have a public hearing tonight. That would be Tuesday night. We could discuss that if you wish.
Let's do the brief comprehensive master plan.
Okay. So one of the items that this project would need is a comprehensive master plan amendment to amend the future land use map. From what it shows right now for this property, which is mixed use, to change that future land use to multifamily residential. So that's what the comprehensive master plan amendment would be for. Staff is recommending that this project is not consistent with the comprehensive master plan, and primarily for that reason is recommending no to the entire project. In regards to the comprehensive master plan, again, this area is proposed for mixed use. That mixed use concept is based in part upon the earlier civic center idea that's not only in the old comprehensive master plan from 1992, it was also reflected in the Ford Franklin report. Furthermore, the EDC at the time of the current comprehensive master plan mapped this area for commercial uses. So the intent, staff believes, of that mixed-use designation would be a combination of those two ideas. Civic Center, which was a large variety of uses, with a specific note that residential would be a small component of the Civic Center, and a mixture of what the EDC had designated for this area, the Economic Development Commission, had designated this area as commercial. We're saying, staff is proposing that this project is not consistent with that. Recommends that the future land use map remain the way it is. This project would not be consistent with that, and therefore the project, we're recommending denial.
I think I need to make a comment first for the audience, because there's been some, not concern, but there's been some anxiousness about how the process works. So everyone's clear, the planning staff is our professional planners. Their job is to look at the overall plan of the city and guide the common council and the elected officials through an orderly plan for the community. They're required by their own personal and professional ethics to follow the codes and ordinances that the city has set up in the past, and that includes the Comprehensive Master Plan, the Unified Development Ordinance, our practices and such. They look at these matters in a technical point of view. They, to a fault, avoid the political aspect of this. And the political aspect of this is the change good? So what you hear from the planning staff is it doesn't meet what we've previously defined as our goals for that particular area. Likewise, the Plan Commission's job is to look at this and make not only a technical decision, but also take in mind their vision of the future of the city and what belongs in this particular area. So the staff may recommend approval and the Plan Commission recommend denial, or vice versa. It goes from this recommending body to the Common Council, who has the ultimate authority in what happens. It's their job. So they may recommend denial, which they did in this case. Plan Commission may have a different opinion, so that's how that works. So, questions on the Comprehensive Master Plan Amendment? We could and should probably take action on it tonight as a recommendation. Commissioner Sims.
Joel, mixed-use development area in the Civic Center, is that intention to be mixed-use within the area or mixed-use on each parcel?
It's not clear. Not clear at all in the current Comprehensive Master Plan. If you look at the old Comprehensive Master Plan, it gives the impression that it's supposed to be within the site.
Are there any mixed use?
But clearly not clearly stated at all in the current Comprehensive Master Plan.
Are there any mixed use developments in that Civic Center area currently?
Not that I can think of. Shops of Wind the Village is all retail commercial. The closest you could say is that one portion of that property was cut off for a single family home that's located right behind. It's not a real good example of mixed use.
That was like a special circumstance.
Yep.
That was a side. Currently, is there any residential uses in that civic district?
Yep. There's an apartment or condo on the west side of Loomis, south of Drexel, and there are single-family homes along the east side of Highway 100, south of the Shops of Woodland Village.
Okay. This development would be kind of both a business and a residential use?
It's more like residential and institutional.
Institutional. So, residential, institutional, and business.
Yep.
Okay.
Commissioner, excuse me. Alderwoman Mayor.
Can you just explain to me why it would be institutional?
Because they provide care. That's as simple as that. It's not market rate unassisted living, it's assisted living. Memory care assisted living that would have a lot of elements, and I would claim would more properly fit under institutional zoning. However, because it's probably going to be a CBRF, a community-based residential facility, by state law, those must be allowed within residential districts within certain criteria, restrictions, and stuff. So by state law, it's required to be allowed with certain conditions in a residential zoning district. This is zoned residential, and that's the option the applicant chose. To maintain the existing zoning and apply for this approval through a special use.
So the reason for staff denial is based on what?
We don't believe it's consistent with the with that intent and goal of this to be mixed use, which is further explained in other plans, which are referenced in the current comprehensive plan as Civic Center. And then as from that standpoint, we don't believe it's consistent with the 70-30 goal either. And then from a not so much a comprehensive master plan standpoint, But from a land use and planning standpoint, this project doesn't do a lot to help out the Shops of Woodland Village. The people that will be living in this facility, they're going to be restricted mobility, their ability to leave the building and go on their own to other places. The applicant themselves says there won't be a lot of cars here from the people living here. They won't be able to facilitate the shop at the Shops of Woodland Village. The employees might be able to, but we're looking for something that's a win-win on all ends. A business or use that not only will the employees be able to frequent the Shops of Woodland Village, but whoever's visiting that shop or living, potentially multifamily, if that was approved, would be able, those residents would be able to use the Shops of Woodland Village.
Well, my recollection is that this came before the Common Council in a concept review.
Correct.
And I actually had that same kind of thought process when it was first brought forward. But understanding the fact that, you know, I think they were talking 25, 30 employees.
Yes.
You're going to have visitors from, for the families. I guess my view has changed a little bit on the fact that it wouldn't help Wyndham Village. So I guess I'm still looking at it as more of a business and more that it is very helpful to the city. I mean, you're getting taxes of $20,000, $30,000, whatever it's going to be on the million-dollar project, and no children going into the school district. So it's straight up value as far as the city is concerned. So that's one reason why I would recommend approving it. But I'll take other comments.
Commissioner Fowler.
Well, if I can remember correctly, we've had some other properties near to Wyndham Hill that have come up before. And I know the residents north of Drexel have had some concerns about what is going to be going south of Drexel. This is a difficult site from a natural resources perspective, and I looked at the plans they put together. I was very impressed that they've really gone out of their way, and I think the arrangement that they seem to have made with the Milwaukee Land Trust, I think, is a good one to solve a difficult siting problem. I agree with Alderman Meyer that this is, I look at it more as a business. It's not going to add cost to our school system here. I've been on the 70-30 kick for a long time. It's not going to add cost to us. It's going to be just bringing in revenue for the school system. I understand staff's concerns, and I usually would follow suit with them, but I too am leaning toward approving this particular facility.
One comment for me. We hear this discussion about the revenue. I must tell all of you that my phone rings quite constantly for the fire chief on this matter. He is, I'm not going to put words in his mouth because he's told me plainly, he's adamantly opposed to this development for the simple fact that it will increase the workload on his department greatly. I was almost going to use an improper word, but greatly. He's got data to support that. I don't have it in front of me, but that is a big concern of mine as to whether or not the tax benefit outweighs the cost. And yes, it's true, there are no children going to school, but there's more ambulance runs. Alderman Mayor, and then Mr. Deal.
I just want to make a quick comment to that. And I mean, there's nurses, there's medical staff right there on site, so has the fire chief considered that as something, you know, that would actually probably mitigate some of those issues that could arise? Has there been any discussion regarding the actual employees that are in the building?
Joel wants to answer that one. I would be happy to, but you've been waggling over
the
there.
The previous chief, not in this budget, but the previous budget, gave a presentation about this subject and said, on average, all senior housing, assisted care, all of those facilities, on average, resulted in one visit from them every year. Every bed. So I'm assuming they looked at all different types and took the average, whether there was a high level of care provided or not. I'm assuming, because he said on average, and talked about everything from nursing homes to assisted to just senior housing, all of those together combined resulted in, on average, one visit per bed per year.
Commissioner Fowler.
Joel, I know there's a memory care facility that was constructed on 68th and Loomis. I believe it took over the old Pet Cemetery. I don't know if that's in our jurisdiction.
No.
I think that's in
the brand new one right on the corner?
Yeah.
Yes, that was outside of
ours. And it's been there about a year. Are there any records? Does the fire chief have information on how many runs or ambulance runs or they had to make? I mean, I'd be interested in finding out. And I think there's a second, I know there's a second care facility near 43rd. I'm sorry, I might have the wrong street, but I know there's another one in Franklin
here?
As well.
48th
Street. But I just would like to know if the fire chief has actual data that he could show that shows that we've had. I mean, that is a concern. As a paying taxpayer, I don't want to be, if this is a real problem, I want to know about it. But I just would like to know if he's been making runs like that. I know I've seen these averages before, and sometimes they don't play out. They play out in certain areas, but they may not pay out in areas like this.
Again, I know what that summary was. I don't know the details, what he based that on.
Just anecdotally, I live by that facility. I don't hear ambulance sirens, or maybe they go quietly. I don't know. But I just haven't seen them there. I bike by it all the time in the summer. I just haven't seen a lot of ambulances there. But maybe they're going when I'm not around.
My purpose, by the way, in bringing that up is that we need to take a look at all aspects of this proposal. It may be at the end of the day, even at the end of this meeting, that this commission recommends approval. That's all fine. It's just important to have all of that data. Commissioner Sinis.
I only know what I was presented in this package, so I just want to ask Joel, is this a for-profit business? It's not tax exempt, so the property is tax property and everything, so there will be tax revenues out of here. As far as the fire department goes, do they only bill if there's a transportation when they respond to a call, or do they bill if they are called out?
Only on transport.
So any transport that was done from the facility would be billed to the person transported?
Correct. Okay, Commissioner Hayden, I'm sorry. Mr. City Attorney.
A little bit of an organic question that just dawned on me. Go back to the why are we here, but why is a comprehensive master plan amendment one of the applications when it's not a zoning ordinance amendment causing that? It's a special use. The zoning's not changing.
But it's the comprehensive master plan shows future land uses.
Correct.
And this future land use would not be mixed use unless the Planning Commission wants to make the call that mixed use can be one use on this property and another use on another property. Not clearly identified, defined one way or the other in this current plan, but the plans it previously refers to seems to indicate mixed uses on a property.
I understand that. But there's no application to rezone the property.
Right.
And the comprehensive master plan is a guide statute, but the statute requires that the adoption or amendment of zoning ordinances must be consistent with. And in the staff report, you mentioned the consistent with, but this is a special use. It's not an ordinance.
Consistent with the zoning, consistent with land division, consistent with
Official mapping, and shoreland and wetland zoning ordinances.
They would be amending the natural resource delineation, which
it's
is
not
a secondary issue, or a relatively minor issue.
So in the real world, is it good to have your master plan match all the zoning? It's logical. But as an absolute requirement, in other words, if the other applications were approved, but the comp plan change designation application was not approved. I don't know that that's a fatal linchpin to the project. Just throw that out there.
Commissioner Haley. Well, I guess I have some thoughts and comments on this because, again, we can talk about the specifics of the UDO and the rules, but from a practical standpoint, we've got a very difficult site to develop, and I'd be hard-pressed to think of a mixed use that would fit in here. Well, it's very small. It's got development on both sides. It's challenged with natural resources. I'm also very familiar with CBRFs and what they do and don't do for a community. It is a business. They will pay taxes. They will employ people. And the building will be occupied by residents of the city of Franklin. Now, I'm fully sympathetic with the concerns of the fire chief, police. These are all realities. But in a situation like this, it's a relatively small facility. If we're overly concerned, I mean, let me just put it this way. This is why we have police and fire. They are there to respond and protect the health welfare of the citizens, and these would be citizens. Okay? So if we're concerned about it in this situation, this very small application, why are we approving huge senior housing complexes, apartments, condos? I mean, we are encouraging, Franklin's demographics are actually shifting to an older population. This is a need that is essential for aging populations. You know, we all get to that point and you need specialized care, and this isn't really a residential facility. There are professionals, nurses, therapists, people coming and going all the time. I mean, I would argue that even though there are people sleeping and eating there, that this is very much in the context of a mixed-use development. That's the staff there will be utilizing Shops at Wyndham. They may be occupying spaces there. So I just want to be careful about the intention of the ordinance is one thing, but if you look at it from a reality perspective here, what kind of a development are we going to get here? What's wrong with this one? It is currently zoned residential. I thought I just heard state law requires it to be allowed in residential districts. So I appreciate all the concerns that staff has. I'm just wondering why. Many times, 70-30, we all supported it. We've championed it for years. It's a goal. We continue to allow nonprofits. We've got a significant number of churches, nothing wrong with churches. But it seems like a capricious argument to make that in this case, it doesn't help the 70-30. We have never had a 70-30 ratio. It's a goal. We're trying. It's been acknowledged through the Plan Commission my years here that someday we'd like to try to get there, but it is probably not possible. Or 82, something like that. Anyways, I'm just trying to be real pragmatic about this. This looks like a pretty good fit for what Franklin is and needs. It's in a location where I don't think you're going to get much else. It's developed around it. I guess I'm having a hard time, and I understand staff's comments and concerns, but why this would be an undesirable development at this location at this point in time.
Commissioner Morrow.
I have a general question about this kind of institution. So fire and police, I know where they're located on that. You can almost see the police department down below, but the fire department's right there. Where could they be located that might be closer under the current? There's not any other relative place above.
Again, the fire chief didn't say anything directly to me, so I'm only basing my comments on what he had said at that one budget meeting.
Appreciate that.
And my assumption would be it's just the number of calls. Even though they're getting reimbursed, those calls will increase and the staffing levels might need to increase. And it always, you know, the city's always been fiscally conservative. It's not easy to get additional staff.
Yeah, and speaking of staff, fire department staff, you don't hire in ones, you hire in sixes because of the way they run 24 hours in staffing. I bring that up just because it is a concern. Whether it's the deciding factor or not, that's up to both this commission and the common council. Let's hold action, if the commission pleases, on this particular item while city attorney and the planning manager discuss whether this is appropriate or not and move to item 2.
Mayor?
Yes, sir. Commissioner Sinis.
I just want to make one comment because this 70-30 thing has come up in a couple of comments here tonight, and I've heard it in a couple of other things that we've looked at in the last few months. And so, you know, the 70-30 thing is an admirable goal, and I would support it, but it has a time element that is associated with it also. And I don't think the intent is that everything is going to be 70-30 all along the road of time. Many consultants have come in here and talked to Economic Development Commission and stuff like that and said that, you know, these businesses make their decisions based on traffic counts, rooftops, and stuff like that. I think, you know, until the residential area, you can't look at every residential development and say it's a tick against the 70-30 goal, because it's really not, because you have to take that time factor into consideration as that happens. So,
I have the urge to comment on that because it's kind of my hot button, right? I'm sorry, Mr. Fowler.
Just one last question, too. I know the last time there was a development on the south side of Drexel, there was some discussion about having a meeting with the neighbors to the north. Has any contact been made with the neighborhood group to the north of Drexel with this development, or are we too early in the process for that?
No neighborhood meeting that I'm aware of. And no, if there was a desire to have a neighborhood meeting, earlier is always better. So actually, it's getting late in the process.
So is this something that I think I would caution the people that are behind this development that neighborhood meeting should occur rather sooner rather than later? Because there may be opposition. There may not be. I see this is a development that would not spur a lot of opposition, but I don't live in that neighborhood.
Commissioner Thinnes commented about adding population, and he's absolutely correct. Unfortunately, this population isn't one that retailers would take advantage of. Home health care providers, that kind of business, yeah. Well, even then, that's already being provided by the owner. But either here or there. So without
just one comment positively about the situation. I mean, with 30 employees going to be employed there, whatever salary that comes to, $1 million or whatever, I mean, that's money that could be coming into Franklin, too, for, you know, them buying houses or, you know, whatever they would do for us also, in addition to being able to shop and do the things that they do in Franklin. So.
And just so everyone understands, sometimes I play the role of the devil's advocate, so. And I also have to have my mayoral perspective on the budget and staffing and that kind of thing. So again, without exception, you want to hold this item until the end while Joel figures out whether he wants to maintain the comprehensive master plan revision or not. So let's move on to item two, public hearing regarding a special use resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of the special use for a 46-unit community-based residential facility, multifamily memory care residence. Mr. Fuchs, you have a notice to read.
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, February 5th, 2015, at 7 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers of the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding application by the LaSalle Group, Inc. for a special use to allow for the development of an approximately 37,835 square foot single story 46 unit state licensed community based residential facilities multifamily memory care residence facility use upon property zoned R8 multiple family residence district and C1 conservancy district, special use option 2 under the unified development ordinance R8 multiple family residence district development standards, requiring in part a minimum of 25% open space upon the property located at approximately 9201 West Drexel Avenue.
It appears we have a properly noticed agenda item. Any other, we've talked about this project a little bit here, so any other comments from staff regarding this special use application? Mr. Deal.
As we typically do when we recommend denial, we have included in the draft resolution for the special use conditions. We do believe there are some concerns and issues that would need to be addressed if the Plan Commission wishes to recommend approval. We had put what recommendations that staff has in the draft resolution. If you concur with them, then no special action would be needed to change or remove those. Also, we have a few suggestions, as typical. Suggestions are not included in the draft resolution. If the Plan Commission would concur with those suggestions, some kind of motion would be needed to add those to the resolution. Generally speaking, the special use component in this part will be dealing with a lot of the site plan related issues. So there is a recommendation related, or two recommendations related to architecture, a few of them about parking and landscaping, and the typical recommendations, you know, that stormwater management plan, final approval hasn't been received yet. Any signage would have to get separate approval from the building inspection. So those standard recommendations are included as well.
Thank you, Mr. Deedle. Applicant, now it's your time. Is Mr. Glover here? Or whoever? Yes. Come on up and have a seat. Yes, please. We don't generally bite. And your name and address, please.
Jason Glover, and our address is 545 East John Carpenter Freeway, Irving, Texas.
Did you bring the warm weather with you?
I'm trying to. Okay. I spoke about that earlier. I guess supposed to tomorrow as I'm leaving. But, we have a PowerPoint presentation. Is that?
Oh. Oh, Joel's got it.
Is the volume good to everyone?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Great, thank you. First of all, I'd like to thank you guys for having us here tonight. We're very pleased to be here and with the prospect of joining the City of Franklin. as you know, and has been discussed already, we're here for the Autumn Leaves of Franklin project. We're petitioning the council for a special use within the existing R8 zoning district. We had a concept plan meeting with you guys on June 30th, and we appreciate that you guys do those meetings, and we took those comments and suggestions to heart and updated our site plan accordingly to make sure that it met the concerns that were brought up. The primary one that we really are hitting on that is the environmental. We're going to make a very good environmental aspect to this site by really going above and beyond what is required, and also with partnering with MALC to do off-site mitigation. So we're excited about the being able to do that and help improve the community in that way. slide one is our project. Slide two, this is the location of the project. I think everyone knows where it is. They're on Drexel on the south side. Slide three is a more up-close view of it, with our actual site layout and building layout. slide four, and I think this is a very good one. It shows our building and what it looks like. It also shows the surrounding uses. We fit in very well there. talked about the mixed-use corridor and how we are and all of that. We are a business. We do pay taxes. We are a large development. We have a construction cost of over $5.5 million that will be taxed on, while also being paid land taxes. We have a $1 million land cost that would be in addition to that. So we are going to be paying a lot of taxes. We will be employing 30-plus people on the project. That'll be $1.4 million plus of payroll and benefits once the project is open and operating and stabilized. back to kind of the surrounding uses, single-family residential to the north. You have the wetlands to the south. You have the bank. This is upside down. It's a little hard to get the directions correct. You have the church to the west, the bank to the east, and you have professional office there to the northeast. We are a business that will help contribute to these uses and are compatible with the uses. We're not a high-rise. It's a one-story, low-impact use. Our site plan, as you can see there on the front, we have the bio-retention ponds and the bio-swales there with detention pond there in the back. It's very important and key that these stormwater management and mitigation items are above and beyond the City of Franklin requirements. So we're excited to be able to do that and that the project is able to help the city in that manner. Many of the benefits have been listed, but I would like to reiterate on them. We will be providing 30-plus jobs, full-time employees, 24-hour, 7 days a week staffing that will help the retail down the street. We do pay taxes, $5.5 million of construction, $1 million of land, $6.5 million total. We are compatible to the surrounding uses. We're complementary to the surrounding uses. We are a business. In the state of Wisconsin tax code, we are classified as a commercial use. That's important to note, I think. We will be providing care, excellent care, leading-edge care to the residents of the City of Franklin. That's our mission, and that's what we do, is provide memory care to residents and ultimately help them out and their families. We do provide the employees and their salaries of $1.4 million plus. A little bit of an overview on our company. I think you guys maybe heard this in the past, but we'd like to bring it up again since it's been several months. Memory care is our primary business. It's 90% plus of our business. We are the leading memory care provider in the United States. We have properties throughout the country. The company was founded due to the founder's family member having Alzheimer's and dementia. And he saw the need for higher level of care, and that's what started the whole company. Since then, we've grown and have been now multiple parts of the country. A little bit of our overview on the property. As I mentioned, we are staffed 24/7. We provide a home-like atmosphere to our residents. We assist in their acts of daily living, which is bathing, hygiene. We provide full-service dining. It's kind of another mixed-use aspect of this. We have dining and businesses. We also have doctors, therapists, various healthcare professionals from the community that come in. We do not have an on-site doctor. We have on-site nursing, but not doctors. We do not have on-site therapists either, so they would be coming in from the community. We are great stewards to the community. We interact with the community, and we need to lease the building up. To do that, we have to go out and interact with the community. We host various events throughout the year. So there is activity at the building. I'll go to slide 10. Is this one. I'll hit on some of the highlights on this. From that last meeting in June, we have made some site plan adjustments. So some of those adjustments and highlights on this site plan. The drive to the building lines up with the across the street. We have added the two bio-retention ponds there on the front and added the detention pond there on the south side. We also rearranged some parking spaces and to lessen the buffer impacts. I'd like to reiterate that the stormwater and the environmental portion does exceed the City of Franklin requirements. Those are probably the highlights on that. Some of these next slides are some pictures of the inside of the building. We are a private pay community. These are very well-appointed, high-quality buildings. So that's a picture of our exterior. We have two courtyards. Residents go in there and walk around. Those are fully enclosed, which is a safety measure. Residents don't get out. It's a better designed building. That's the living room. You can see it's home-like. They have activities in there. It's very well appointed. We have different neighborhoods, which is part of the design. I'll go through these fairly quick. Some common areas include library, greenhouse, sunroom, a game room, kind of a bistro area. We have a private dining area there in the middle and other dining areas. There's another picture. This is a 3D rendering of the site. See, we have the attractive fountain in the front and the enclosed courtyards. So in summary, I would like to say that we do extensive demographic analysis for cities and markets before we go into them. These are large projects. They cost a lot of money. We want to make sure that there's demand in the city and market for it. This one has a very strong need for memory care in this community. We will be serving the community residents and families. We have an efficient transition to the wetlands area. We have a large number of jobs. We have the stormwater plan that exceeds the City of Franklin requirements. There are some wetlands on the site. They're low-quality wetlands, and we'll be doing high-quality wetlands in the off-site mitigation. So I'd like to conclude very briefly with the biggest highlights. We are a premier provider of memory care, and we're coming to the City of Franklin. We look forward to that opportunity. We are maxing out the site with our building. This is a 37,835 square foot building. It is a big building. We are maxing out the site with it. 30 plus jobs and $5.5 million plus of hard construction cost. So we'll be providing good jobs and taxes to the city.
Thank you, Mr. Glover.
Thank you.
Since I'm in the middle chair, I get to speak first, I guess. My biggest concern is actually appropriate for this particular slide. This being the north exposure, the main exposure, especially to the neighbors across the street. I'd like to see something more to break up that wall. Those two walls facing the street. I don't know how you do it architecturally. I looked at my colleague, Mr. Thinnes, to help with that. But with only four windows, well, there's six windows, but it appears that the flat face of that just doesn't meet with what's across the street. Just the comment.
I would like to introduce our consultants on the site. We have Nick Patera, who's our landscape architect and planner. We also have Michael Aronson, who's our architect, and we have Ted Ward, who's our civil engineer. They'll be happy to help with all of these comments.
By the way, how'd your football team do this year? Oh, I'm sorry.
That was number 12.
Yeah, how did ours do? Yeah.
My name's Nick Patera, and this is one of several autumn leaves for LaSalle Group that we've worked on. We've had the pleasure of working with LaSalle Group on numerous, but the specifics to this particular property are unique to Franklin and to the site. And so that's kind of the fun part of working on something that's got a program and a prototype, but then how do we make sure that we tailor this to fit the site? When we looked at the site, most importantly, was the corridor along Drexel. What do we have across the street with Windham Hills? There's mounding, there's landscape. This is all semi-matured, that was put in when the homes were built across the street. What we really wanted to do was kind of reflect the face of what they have across the street. There will be landscape in the foreground, both to screen the cars, but to also provide a pleasing entry. Your question had to do with these north facades. So we have kind of about three layers. There's street tree plantings that we have to get approved by Public Works through the city. We also have then the foreground planting around the perimeter in here. In the, you know, call it the front yard, there's foundation planting, tree, tree, tree. The courtyard steps back, and then tree, tree, tree. What wasn't showing on that rendering was then, again, foundation planting. This would be somewhere very similar to what you would have as a residence in a house. It's a big house, but it's got people, it's got employment. And so what we're doing here is configuring the front of this to look appealing to the corridor, to look like it's complementary to the homes across the street. But then we really change gears. I mean, what we're doing along this outer perimeter is really what's kind of unique to Franklin, unique to this site, and steps back and looks at the bigger picture. What's the attribute with the wetlands that surround us, with the wetlands that continue, you know, for acres and acres to the south of us? We really kind of change our clothing from what we're doing along the front of the building and along the corridor to something quite different around the perimeter of our property. So we're making that transition not just for water quality but for an appearance point of view to the sides. Because you'll see, you know, side views, we're screening cars so that when you go past the church, you're looking across a water treatment and you know, flowering species kind of wetland with vile swale that connects back over to the south pond. Same way, it's kind of in stereo on the east side here, but we're you know, also considering not just the front but the sides as well. Long answer, but this is how you're integrating architecture, site planning, and landscape all together.
And I appreciate that. I come with no preconceived notions about how you would fix my particular issue, other than I look at that elevation.
I would like that.
And it's a lot of brick, whether there's a tall tree in the middle, whatever. So I just offer that, you know, is it enough for me to say no? No. Would I be happier with a different answer? The answer is yes.
I'm Michael Aronson, I'm the architect, and I am the architect for Aquatic Leaves. And in answer to your question, that got stretched because it's a PowerPoint presentation. I don't think the building is quite that long. And there's a real photograph. The first slide's a real photograph of a similar building. But I do have, staff had recommended that the gable end, which is right there, be done in the stone that matches the band below. And if you would like to look at a possible option, I'm sorry to do it, it's a little informal. This would be an option that is your desires, and that's just the address. I think it does give a lot more character.
Well, it helps.
Yes, it does.
And that's all I'm suggesting. So,
that was an option, and
we're happy to do that.
We're happy to do that. It was available.
Thank you, sir. Question for you, Mr. Grover. There are some recommendations that have been included by the staff. For example, surrounding the exterior utilities, using the same material, essentially breaking them up, and others here, stormwater pond. There's several of them here.
Yes.
Any that you have a particular issue with?
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. We have gone through the special use resolution, and thank you guys for writing that. We're able to accept the approvals and recommendations. I do have a few comments to the items. This is the special use resolution. There's, I think, a list of 13 items. We're able to accept all of those, and I'd like to comment on a few of them. Item number 4 is in regards to receiving approval from the Wisconsin Department of Health. And we do have to receive that, and we will be receiving that. We do ask that we can do our site work prior to receiving that, just due to timing issues. We ask for that on item four. On item seven is regarding handicap spark parking spaces in the buffer. We would like to keep non-handicap parking spaces in the buffer. The reason for that is because we do have resident family members that drive the residents and drop them off. Resident family members are typically the adult child. They would not be utilizing the handicap parking space. So we would like them to be able to park in a regular parking space. So we do feel that is important. Item number 10 is about the mitigation on the site. And we do have a memorandum of understanding with MALC on that. I believe we sent a copy in. I'm not sure if you guys have the copy, but we do have one. We can hand that, get that to you guys accordingly. The memorandum of understanding is essentially the detailed mitigation plan. It outlines the responsibilities of us as the developer and MALC as, I guess, the recipient of the funds and the off-site mitigation. We do have a member of MALC here today. I will summarize what has been talked about, and if any additional questions.
Let's hold that for the natural resources specialist.
Oh, okay. But we do have the memorandum of understanding for the mitigation plan. So item 4, 7, and 10, kind of have comments. The rest we are good with.
Okay. This is a public hearing. Let me open the public hearing. I'm going to do that first. So this is a public hearing. It's been properly noticed. I will now open a public comment. Is there anyone wishing to speak on this application for special use?
Yes.
Sir, please come forward. Give your name and address for the record.
My name is Musa Nicholas. I live on 7729 South Sanctuary Road. That would be right, my backyard would be right in front of this building. I've been living in Franklin for 22 years. I used to live in Mission Hill. I moved to Windham Hill 3 years ago. And there's a lot of traffic, and there's ambulances going on and siren that has kept me up a lot. And I own a very expensive home. After seeing this, I'm definitely going to move. You haven't talked to any of these people across the street. We're making decisions. These homes are very expensive, and we pay a lot of taxes. This is going to be very serious for us.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Anyone else wishing to speak? Mr. Lewandowski.
Leroy Lewandowski, 8030 West Winston Way. I want to remind you on this commission is that it's very difficult to hear you people because you don't know how to use the mics properly. I'm sorry to say that, but I looked at this design, and I note that most of the design refers to a hip roof, except for the front exposure, where they use a gable on two issues there, where you said the walls were too broad. I would think that somebody could break that up just with a hip roof or a fake window. But it is something that we need in the city. I've just been visiting Clement Manor for the last several days in a memory war. And I can't understand the design of this interior because that isn't the way the things are in a memory war. It's different. Believe me. And so I think that interior is like a motel, and that's not the way it is. One of the things is the location of this facility could be placed where the bowling alley is. It would be next to the hospital. It would be next to a park, what they call a healing park, and I think it would avoid the issue this gentleman said. And I feel that that is a bigger spot. And I just, And when you look at that, the gable end, where you find the main entrance, there's a white section that shows right up on top of the roof. That looks like somebody forgot something. So there's a lot of issues with the design. And one of the issues I've got with this group here is that every time we come up with a design, somebody always says, well, don't put any siding up. They want it all brick all the way up to cover everything. And this one has done pretty well, except when I look at this hotel that we got going up, it's a disaster. Half of it's stucco and half of it's brick. So I don't know where the city is going with the requirement that everything has to be brick all the way up. It's a good idea, but why not have it for everybody? I guess that's about all I can say tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lewandowski. Anyone else wishing to speak? I see somebody behind the board.
So my name is Donna Schmidt. I live directly across from this 7798 South Windham Hills Parkway. And I came because I wanted to see it. And I've only lived there 3 years. My first suggestion is that you do contact the Windham Hills Association and have the group talk and just hear what the proposal is. I knew when I moved into my house on the corner of Drexel, someday something would be built across the street from me. And I have to tell you, I'm okay with this. I look at it, and I would like to see the front a little different, too, but somebody could say that about my house. But overall, if we're looking at what's going to be across from my house, there could have been a lot of options, and I think it's a viable option. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Schmidt. Anyone else? You're leaning.
Well, no, I'm with the group.
Oh, okay. Anyone else wishing to speak on this matter? Anyone else? Okay, here I go. I'm going to close the public hearing. Comments from commissioners? I know that Commissioner Thinnes had something.
Yeah, I was just going to mention, when you mentioned that front elevation, I had the same thought when I first opened up this set of plans, that the front elevation was a little sparse as far as fenestration and openings, not just the change in masonry, but actually openings. I looked at the floor plan. I think, I don't know if you can switch to a floor plan really quick. It might help the mayor understand or see why that might be blank wall space there.
Well, if you do it, yeah, floor plan. There you go. Okay. Those are...
It's going to be very... well, yeah, and there's... Those are bathrooms, right? And it's hard for me to see from here.
Right here?
Bathrooms?
Yeah,
bathrooms.
Yes.
And right here?
Yes.
Bathrooms, which makes it hard to put windows. But possibly like a transom-type window that was high in the wall. Would something like that work there to kind of break that up a little bit as opposed, you know, to me, masonry is masonry. If you switch it from brick, you switch it to block, it's still going to be a mass of one color, one look.
I think we could add,
on here, if we're happy to do the stone on here, we could probably put another window here in the middle. And I don't think all of this is restroom here. We could maybe fit probably another window on each side. Here. So we could get 1, 2, 3, 4 additional windows on the front.
Yeah, there's a good amount of symmetry going on there, too, in that front elevation that I really wouldn't want to see screwed up either, you know, if it could balance on both sides. Because there's symmetry in the building. That seems to be a very defined aspect of the building. And to goof that up might make it a little worse, you know.
Correct. That putting those additional windows in there is something we should definitely be able to do. Keep that symmetry, and it would be pretty much the same size windows, the vertical windows.
The other thing I noticed, I think in Joel's comment, was regarding the mechanical, there were some condenser fences on each side of the building that you had requested that be made into a brick enclosure. Was that part of your recommendations in the special use that they're agreeable to, or?
Yes, I believe that was.
I don't know if it was a recommendation or a suggestion.
Five. So I believe they're okay with that.
Okay.
Correct.
Just to be clear, I was not sitting here redesigning your building, I have a little bit of background in reading plans. I wouldn't ever say I'm an architect. And I didn't look carefully. I just expressed my concern on how you solve it or make improvements. Totally your business. I respect Scott. He's an architect. He's licensed. That's his game. Alderman Fowler, I just noted you. Commissioner Fowler.
Thanks. No thanks, Mayor. I do have a question for the applicant. There's been a lot of talk about your impacts to the shops and the businesses in and around where you're going to be putting your structure. Now, I'm assuming with the size of the facility and the apartments there, there's going to be a need for grocery supplies and those kinds of things. What's been the policy of your company? Do you guys have an off-site or out-of-state supplier? Do you guys tend to try to favor local businesses and give them some of the grocery supplies, some of those things that you might go? And there's a grocery right down the street at the village. Shops of Wyndham Village or whatever.
This is an extensive facility. We have 54 residents. For our daily food, we have an outside third-party contractor that we use. So we would not be directly going to that store.
Okay.
Using a third-party contractor.
And then two questions for staff. I know one of the recommendations you have, or suggestions you have, was cross-connection with the bank and the church. If you go back to the landscape plan real quick, I have some concerns with that, Joel. If you look at what that would...
Yeah, the site is really tight. Yeah. They would probably have to reduce that bioswale
infiltration
areas.
You know me and stormwater, Joel. I just would prefer to keep the bioswale. Is there a reason why they need the cross-connection?
Going back to the Civic Center mixed use, if it was Civic Center zoning, it's required.
Okay. Well, I would suggest that suggestion be dropped because of the other benefits we're going to get from
this. And it's not in the resolution.
I understand. And then on the handicap parking, is there a real need that they cannot move that? I think he made a good point about why they would like it.
It's a buffer yard is required, although the Common Council has the authority to alter that. But the purpose is it's a different use, potentially more intensive use than the single family to the north. We knew and we still remember how much the neighbors were concerned mm-hmm. about the shops of Wyndham Village. Not only did they have to create a buffer yard on their property, they ultimately did one on the subdivision side of the street as well. So we thought it was very important to maintain a buffer yard on this project as much as we could, and we were compromising by allowing the handicap to remain there. So. Again, if a neighborhood meeting was held and they had no concerns, that would probably reduce our concern about this buffer yard and that parking.
But it looks like they're doing a nice job of buffering with vegetation and landscaping. And if the neighborhood across, if they do have the meeting, which I would highly recommend that they do that, would alleviate some of those concerns, Joel?
Some, yes, but I it's hard to tell from these plans. This is what that'll probably look like more fleshed out. It probably won't be that thick in wintertime, for instance. And then there's also not only the screening of the building itself, but there may also be issues with the screening of the bioswales themselves and the native plantings and grasses in that area. We know we've had those problems with the hospital. Right. They ultimately had enough complaints they removed some of it.
Right.
So...
In my
mind, it was important to have traditional landscaping as thick as we could in front, even more than what they're proposing here.
If it's winter like this, the snow would block everything anyway.
Yes.
So they don't have that in Texas, I don't think. And I think that would be something I'd like to see if we could come to some compromise with the applicant on that parking.
And there could be. One of the conditions is to do a small berm. And have landscaping on. So where some of that landscaping is now would be a berm raised up a little bit more with that landscaping on top. That will probably help a little bit.
Is that something the applicant could...
They didn't call that one out, so I'm assuming they're agreeing with that one.
Well, they called number 7 out. That's
yeah, this was number 10. Not number 10.
Number 7. The handicap parking. Accessible parking shall be allowed only
this
within...
This is number 8.
Okay, number 8.
The berm, small landscaping berm was...
I don't think they have a problem with that.
We did not call that berm.
So that helps.
But if you had to live with number 7, you could. Is it a deal killer?
I wouldn't say it's a deal killer, but it is important. It really makes the building function better.
Thank you.
Alderwoman Mayor and then City Engineer Merrill Quarles.
I just have a quick question. It might be more for the environmental portion, but I have a question regarding that pond. Is that one to the south going to be very maintained and, you know, kind of a pretty place for people to go to, or are the residents really encouraged to just stay within the area courtyards?
So one of the items on the resolution is that we do a pathway to that pond and provide benches out there, and we are agreeable to do that. The residents wouldn't go out there by themselves due to the nature of the resident, but if they're with their families or caregivers, they would be able to go out there.
So how is the maintenance going to be on that? I mean, there are plenty of ponds that were around the city that were intended, I think, to be nicely maintained in that, and they kind of fallen into disarray. I'm just wondering about the plans for this.
We'll have a full landscape maintenance plan, and we do maintain our properties 100%. It'll be maintained.
Is that Nick or Ted?
Either way, we're not fussy.
One of the staff provisions was to require maintenance on the overall, but not just the ornamental landscape that was, you know, kind of the front door, but also on the naturalistic landscape that they're asking for a 3-year maintenance and management program for that. As far as long term, this is a you know, more or less a receptacle pond that will be a standing water on the pond. It will have a planting perimeter with native plantings that go around the edge of it. But if it's, for example, starts to become infested with invasive species, cattail, purple loosestrife, things like that, then that would have to be part of the management that we're committing to staff. So I think that may answer your question. We're really kind of walking on a transition between cultivated landscape around the building and on the front, and then transitioning to more of a very naturalistic landscape to marry up with the larger acreage of wetland to the south.
Right, but it, you're saying it's only a 3-year program. So, Joel, if that, what happens after 3 years? I think we've had this talk before.
Most numerous concern for the traditional landscaping is some of it may die, and then it would be up to them if they wanted to replace anything that died. For the native-type landscaping, it's always continual battle for the natives to try to outcompete the invasives, so that in that regard, it's a better chance that if maintenance is stopped, the natives will lose out to the invasives and the cattails and stuff will come back. However, on the other hand, it's always hard. How long do you require a maintenance plan? Typically, for landscaping, it's 2 or 3 years in our conditions. For mitigation, it's usually 3 years. There are exceptions. We do have a couple exceptions that have gone past 3 years. I believe the MELC MOU is looking at 5 years.
So, I will add that from an appearance point of view, from a marketing point of view, LaSalle Group, Autumn Leaves, they do end up having weekly in-season maintenance that would include not just the front door and the front courtyard and the parkway, but also the surroundings. I mean, it has to be a presentable piece of property. The people who come and live here aren't really the people who are seeking residence. It's the kids. It's the adult kids who are saying, "Is this a nice place to bring a loved one?" And so it does. I think also have an appearance advantage to say we're going to take care of it because it has to look good. It's not just coincidental that this is on a thoroughfare. It is a marketable and they want to be seen, not just put in the back of a business park, for example, where visibility isn't important. Visibility is important.
Right, and I guess my point is you've said emphatically that, you know, you're doing above and beyond what is required, and it would just be a shame for that to kind of go to disarray afterwards. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, Mr. City Engineer Morrow, Commissioner Morrow.
I was not here when this came through the first time, but my staff was, and they looked at it, and they're quite pleased. They apparently took a lot of their suggestions to heart. Having reviewed it this time, there are a multitude of comments that we have, ranging anywhere from slopes of pipes all the way up to stormwater management agreements. So that's, you know, unlike landscaping, we can have something in perpetuity, you know, trying to make sure that they still function like the stormwater facilities that they're supposed to be. So I guess it's part of the recommendations. I'd like to make sure that it goes through a full plan review. I don't think they're anything overcomable. Some of the things are pretty minor, like get rid of all the details that refer to contacting the state of Illinois, those kinds of issues that we'd like to see cleaned up on the plan. So I don't think they're anything insurmountable, but there are issues like that.
Thank you.
That's one of those. Commissioner Simmons.
Just one real quick question. Being a CBRF, are you have connections with the and work with the Wisconsin Family Care program for having beds that are available to people like that that are on assistance like that?
This is a private pay only.
This is private pay only.
Correct.
Is there a motion to recommend approval of a resolution imposing? Mr. Tittle.
Would we want to discuss the natural resource special exception first, just in case, before any final votes?
Report. Commission? I see no objection to that. So we'll move to item, whatever it is, 3.
There is a little bit of overlap.
3B3, and this is a public hearing. Mr. Fuchs.
Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, February 5th, 2015 at 7 p.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers in the Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding application from the LaSalle Group, Inc. for a special exception to natural resource feature provisions for property located at approximately 9201 West Drexel Avenue, zoned RA Multiple Family Residence District and C1 Conservancy District, which bears tax key number 794-9994-003. The request of special exception to natural resource feature provisions is for the purpose of allowing for the filling, grading, and paving within approximately 6,022 square feet of wetland impacts, 50,800 square feet of wetland buffer impacts, and 15,479 square feet of wetland setback impacts for the proposed approximately 37,835 square feet, 46 unit, single-story, state-licensed, community-based residential facilities, multifamily, memory care, residence, facility construction.
It appears that we've properly noticed public hearing. The local code requires that for a natural resources special exception, that testimony given before the Plan Commission in this particular matter for this type of exception, that all testimony be sworn. Is there anyone wishing to speak on this matter? I hereby open the public hearing. Is there anyone wishing to speak on this matter? Anyone wishing to speak on the natural resources special exception? That was easy. And seeing none, I will close the public hearing. Commissioners? Comments, questions? In your packet, Mr. Deagle.
Just want to note that there is a draft of that MOU in your packet. The applicants, they're continuing to work on it. They just, within the last day or so, gave us a little bit more information. I've referenced before some of the time frames, how long they're going to be doing those individual steps. A lot of that has been filled in. A lot of that is up to 5 years. So a lot of these maintenance steps are going to be up to 5 years. What we don't have yet primarily is the number of acres that will be restored and improved and the costs for that project. from the staff standpoint, the acres are important to us. We want to see how close they get to the standard 1.5 to 1. But as we probably remember, prior natural resource special exceptions have not always rigidly followed that 1.5 to 1. But it is a good guideline. So the recommendation in the special use resolution, as well as what eventually would be in the standards and findings for the natural resource special exception itself, states that this natural resource special exception mitigation plan be brought back to the Plan Commission and Common Council for review and approval. That's the way that condition stands right now. If you are comfortable with it, you could just delegate that to staff if you wish, but then that wording would have to be changed. That condition would have to be changed. The other thing I would mention is what staff would be looking for, again, is the filling in of those blanks and then a map showing where and what they were proposing to do. But again, the way it stands right now, it's worded that it has to come back when those things are done to you and the council.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll come back to that. Now let's go back up to the comprehensive master plan amendment item, which in the agenda is 3B1. Mr. City Attorney.
Mr. Mayor, I mentioned earlier that the consistent with requirement is statutory, and the statute simply refers to ordinance amendment or enactment, and there is not an ordinance before the Plan Commission here this evening. I did not hear from staff how the application got filed, but let me suggest this. There is a provision in the Unified Development Ordinance that has a number of factors to be considered by the Plan Commission and the Common Council when acting upon the applied for special use. One of those is that the special use be in harmony with the purposes of the Unified Development Ordinance and the Comprehensive Master Plan. It does not, I'd have to double check all of this, frankly, but it does not require that it be consistent with terms of the Comprehensive Master Plan, most specifically the future land use map. So that would be a rationale as to why the master plan amendment would be a directed application needed for that purpose. However, you know, like I said, I will do actual research on this, but my gut feeling right now is that it is not, if the master plan amendment was not adopted, I don't know that that's a linchpin which would prevent adoption of either the special use resolution or the natural resource special exception. Does that make sense?
It's complicated.
We have a problem if the application is a rezoning ordinance, and in order to be consistent with the master plan, the rezoning, then you need to amend the master plan for future land use. Statute requires that any new ordinance, the rezoning ordinance, be consistent with. If it's not consistent, you can't adopt it. So if the Plan Commission did not recommend and the council did not adopt the master plan amendment, in effect, are barred from adopting the ordinance because it wouldn't be consistent with it. That's not the case here. I'm not seeing a requirement that a special use resolution is prohibited from being adopted if it's inconsistent with the master plan. UDO only says in harmony with purpose. Without even double-checking that, I assure you there's some statement within the comprehensive master plan that future planning goals include the health and welfare of Franklin residents, and this is clearly on point. And there's also an argument out there, I don't know that it was phrased as an argument, in support of, consistent with the future land use plan, it's mixed use on the future land use plan. City planner said, well, it's not perfectly clear exactly what that is. Alderman Mayer mentioned, well, it's a business as well as a resident. It is mixed in and of itself, could be a position. So I think it all works out regardless of the ultimate focus, but it will double check. It's nice if everything's consistent.
So, Mr. Deal.
There may be some language that helps in the special use standards and regulations from our UDO. One of the criteria, the special use, and it's clearly different language than what state statute has. So I think the intent is the levels of consistency are different between if this was a rezoning and if this was just special use.
Statute is consistent with, and the UDO is in harmony.
Yes.
Okay, my sense is, without having taken a vote, that if this comprehensive master plan amendment was required, that it would pass. So, Mr. City Attorney, this is the motion fashioned by your staff, so you would go ahead with that motion. Okay, thank you. Is there a motion to approve a resolution recommending?
Always the attorney.
That's what we pay him for. That's fine. Interrupt me anytime. Keep me out of jail. Is there a motion to approve a resolution recommending the adoption of an ordinance to amend the City of Franklin 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan to change the City of Franklin 2025 future land use map for the property located at approximately 9201 West Drexel Avenue from mixed use and areas of natural resource features use to residential multifamily use and areas of natural resource features use pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 66-1001 sub 4 sub B.
So move.
Second.
Discussion on the matter? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. By the way, just off the top, Mr. Glover, it would be great to go have a neighborhood meeting like next week.
Yes.
All right. Item 2, special use, which we held a public hearing for. Is there a motion to recommend approval of a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for a 46-unit community-based residential facility, multifamily memory care residence facility use upon a property located at approximately 9201 West Drexel Avenue? Before the motion is made, it's important that everybody recognize the 16 conditions.
Well, 17 is not the other.
Yours is the other?
No.
Yours is the other. Is there a motion to that effect?
I would make that motion with a couple of amendments, if I may.
Well, I'll make the motion and add the amendments. So the amendments are? The amendments are?
Second.
The amendments are clarification on item number 4, that they could commence site work prior to actually having that license as requested. I think that's a reasonable request. I would suggest striking number 7. We're still going to have parking out there, whether it's handicap or regular. I don't think it's essential. And other than that, I would just offer the comment that on your landscaping plan, you might want to seriously reconsider the use of European alder, as that may be one of those that becomes an invasive species out here in these wet areas.
He knows what he's
American
talking
alders.
Is that with the consent of the second?
I just have one. I would just like for number 7, if I could, that they work. So I would note be put there that they work with staff to see if they can get the buffer after the neighborhood meeting. I don't know how we would do that, Mayor or City Attorney, because if they have a neighborhood meeting and they want something different there, is that something that can be added, or should we put that in the resolution that suggestions that are, I don't want to tie their hands and say they have to accept everything the neighborhood meeting comes up with, but they should at least consider it.
Mr. Deal.
If it happens before the Common Council meeting next week, Tuesday, we could all bring that up at that time and make the corrections that the council would like. If it happens after that, they would either have to have some caveat added now, or we'd have to add a caveat saying they have to come back. So I would be afraid to have something too open-ended.
I would suggest leaving it in and allowing the Common Council to take it out. We've got an alderman here and mayor. So.
Then I just have one other comment. I think we should work through the alderman. This is to the applicant. If you're going to have that neighborhood meeting, work through the alderman of that district, and it is
Dan
Meyer, Mayor. I would suggest you get in touch with him and have him upset that. And I would do that quickly.
So let's go back. Commissioner Haley's motion was to change item 4 to allow site work prior to the license and to strike 7. Is that your second?
Yeah, I think we should just.
That's a yes or no. Go ahead.
No. I would say I would like to keep it in and strike it, but then have the council put back something that they would see fit. If they had the meeting, if we don't have the meeting, the council then could add whatever they saw fit in number 7. That would be, we could make that part of our.
We can have the staff note that it's the intention of the Plan Commission that.
While we're striking this, we want them to put something back in there to make sure that this works for the neighbors.
So you want to strike it and put something back in as opposed to leaving it in and allowing the common council to strike it?
I don't know.
I guess I'm looking at council adding.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So your motion is to strike 7 and modify 4 as discussed. That is your second?
Yes, that's my second.
All right. Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Is there a turn page? Okay. Is there a motion to recommend approval of the LaSalle Group, Inc. Natural Resource Features Special Exception pursuant to the standards, findings, and decisions recommended by the Plan Commission and the Common Council. Here we go, Jesse. Okay. And consideration of any Environmental Commission recommendation. Sorry, it was choppy. It was split up.
So moved.
Second.
I'm a trained broadcaster. All those in favor, any discussion?
I would just like to add that usually I'm very concerned about exceptions to natural resource standards, this type of thing. But as I said earlier, this is an extremely difficult site, and this is the sort of plan that I like to see, that I would expect to see when we're talking about impacting resources, minimizing impacts on site, mitigating on site, and then going above and beyond to actually doing some off-site remediation work. So this is the sort of thing I would like to see on all projects where we do have these impacts, not just it's okay, we're going to take the loss. I think they did a really good job of reaching out and coming up with something that's meaningful in terms of resource preservation.
Any other discussion?
Yeah, I'd just like to second what Commissioner Haley spoke about. I think this is a great plan. And also, I think both the county, I work for the Milwaukee Sewage District, we do a lot of wetland work, and we have a list of, we pre-qualify landscape firms to work with natural vegetation and wetlands, and I believe that Milwaukee County has done the same, so if you want assistance in finding landscapes or contractors to do that work, they have some suggestions for you.
Any further? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Nick, can you get, or Joel, maybe, get Mr. Glover, Alderman Mayer's contact information, please. Okay. Last item on the agenda. Help me, man. Here it is. Plan Commission agenda format, mayoral request for the commission to review and direction upon the commission meeting format agenda. You've all been with me since April. You understand that I'm internally confused as to what is a properly noticed and public hearing versus it's just the way we do it is kind of confusing. So I asked the staff to take a look at this. They've done this in the past. They offered you 3 options. I would suggest the option 2 laid out like 3. But I'm anxious for any conversation that the senior plan commission members have. I just want it to be clear as to what a public hearing is and maybe a little less confusing for the public. Commissioner Fowler.
I believe it was the second option where it has it lists like a business action. I'm just going to read from it. Like, it says Fountains of Franklin, then it says public hearing at the end of the paragraph. I like that setup too. I also like how it was set up in the front, but I think it would be nice to have something like underneath in bold, underneath that paragraph, say action taken would be public hearing, or action taken, no public hearing, but like general discussion, whatever we do for that item. So how that's phrased, I just think it should be the action that we're going to take needs to be spelled out in bold, like public hearing, not a public hearing, so that the public can see very clearly when there's a public hearing, when there's not, and what we're going to be doing. So just my suggestion. Am I saying it right?
So you said you like two?
I do. I like both of them, but I just want to see something here where it says public hearing. It should be action to be taken or action taken.
Thanks.
Would that preclude your ability to not take action on something?
No. You say proposed action.
Or proposed action. Thank you. That's a good point. Thanks, Scott.
So your recommendation is A, B, and C as it is on two,
mm-hmm.
but only in the write-up, as in the Fountains of Franklin one, would you notice public hearing on the bottom?
Right, and just say action take. You could put it on top or on the bottom. I don't care.
Okay,
just,
I care because it confuses the daylights out of me. And if it confuses me, I've been doing this for 22 years,
okay.
I am concerned about the public. So I go with the narratives, but I would like to see a heading that says hearings, and we do all the hearings all at once.
Okay.
And then all the business items down at the bottom, as it's listed in three, okay, but with the formatting that's in two.
Okay.
That's what I'd like to see, but I am only one of
that seven. Confused me, but I figured it out when you explained it that way.
Yeah, because the text in two is far easier to read for the average.
And would it not be,
yes, sir.
Would it not be prudent that if we do the public hearings all at once in the beginning, that way the public who is here to do those public hearings can get out while we do our other orders of business? Normally we try to do that anyway, but it would this way it would be clear that we're going to get those public hearings first.
Right. And in addition to that, having the hearings up front doesn't preclude us from jumping down the agenda and taking action on that particular item as we do it.
I mean, that was probably going to be the answer to my question was what happens if something like tonight has hearings and other action to be taken and you don't want to be jumping from hearing to hearing to hearing and then go back to something you had a hearing on and take action on it later on the agenda. How do things get on the agenda? Are they put on the agenda in order that they're applied for, the applications received, or is it an arbitrary listing of how they get on there in the order that they go?
Mr. Deedle.
Jesse can correct me if he wants. I think it's partly the order, but partly some strategy. We're not going to put this item first. We're going to put this item, even if we gave this one to the city attorney's office first, this one's not going to be the first on the agenda. So there's some of that thinking behind this, too.
Okay, so
otherwise,
it's really arbitrary.
The order?
Strategic.
Strategically arbitrary.
Strategy. Well, I don't typically look at the Plan Commission agendas to set order. But that does come into play. You know, you figure you're going to be able to knock a couple of them out quick. Those should go first because if the controversial ones are later, then. But sometimes, depends. Sometimes the controversial ones should go first so that you know,
Mayor Clements brought it up in the hearings we had the other week that it wasn't clear the hearing aspect of what we were doing, but I can understand, I can kind of see the logic behind having a combined category of hearings and other action because of what happened tonight. You have a thing that has multiple things going on with it. And it does say up at the top, public hearings and or whatever.
And public possible action.
Yeah. But maybe if we put a star or something next to the items that have a public hearing associated with them or something, so that people know.
Well, again, I think Commissioner Fowler and I are now of one mind that it's two format, but with C being public hearings and possible action, and then D being business action.
Which is two on here? I didn't see
two. Two is the proper.
It's
nice
really
writing.
Faint. It's that diagonal across the page, really faint.
Oh, see it?
The watermark? Is there something?
Yes, the watermark.
This one.
That's what I would prefer, but, you know, I'm the
one
of seven.
Right.
This is just about like it is right now.
No, the other person.
Commissioner Haley.
I'm inclined to like number two, and maybe part of the solution is here, and even they're showing at the end of the text it says public hearing. I might actually go a step further and say a public hearing will be held for each item. So you've got the narrative, but we heard it the other day. There was people said we thought there'd be a public meeting. It's a little confusing in the heading. If you have this format and you see it, it says public hearing. I might just recommend a public hearing will be held on this item.
Another possible action could
for the for the public's use.
Well, and I think we're getting real close to being violently agreeing. But
so.
my thing is I want to separate the public hearing so people clearly know there's a public hearing. And
well,
the item would appear twice. It'll be in the business section as well as the public hearing. But during the public hearing, if you notice it that says and possible action, you can immediately during that after the public hearing jump down to the business item. Mr. City Attorney.
Hypothetical converse thought. That line type of lineup would be fifth item in the business sub category. Plan Commission Chairman talked to somebody before the meeting and suggested that the Plan Commission suspend the rules so that the citizen can speak. And then somebody else raises their hand, and all of a sudden there's eight people talking. And then somebody in the back corner of the room there stands up and says, this item does not say it's a public hearing. As opposed to going with Commissioner Haley's idea where you just extrapolate. And the other thought I had was put public hearing in bold. But you will have that one clear line for an item that has a public hearing that says a public hearing shall be held on this matter, on this subject. And then, I mean, that's pretty clear. You can put it in bold, and then if it's not there on the next one, it's not there. I don't know that you have to put it in a separate category.
I would suggest instead of burying it at the end of the description, notice, right after the letter or the number, put public hearing, and then on the next line, start your description of what the thing is. They'll stand out like crazy if it's the first words that are there.
I'm just worried that I might have two concerns. One concern is to make it clear what's a public hearing. That's a statutory requirement, so let's make it clear. That's my issue. Whether it's a separate section, which would be more convenient for yours truly, who is easily confused on Thursday nights after common council meetings on Tuesday nights, like we've had. So making it clear that it's a public hearing is my main concern. My secondary concern is answered by two is, we've always had a difficult time writing agendas that are easily read by the average public. You could fix both of your problems by putting a header in, a header or an asterisk at the bottom. This is common. The Plan Commission may suspend the rules to allow citizen comment on any item. That's that. I don't know. I'm looking for a solution. I've given you my request.
Isn't it like suspending the rules a special circumstance that's kind of dedicated to the people here on the commission to instigate rather than having somebody in the audience say, hey, I want to suspend the rules because, you know, I want to have
the audience can't. They're not a member of
I know they can't, but if it's on the agenda, they may think they can.
Hey, I'm good. As long as it's focused on page two, I'm good. Fowler, excuse me.
I gotta get a beard. I'm really confused.
What about this? And again, it's just we're like beating this dead horse, but I do think it's important. So if we had at the top under two, it'd be public hearings. It would be item A, B, C, D, or whatever, and then we'd have other actions A, B, C, D. Could we put with those other actions? Action A is related to public hearing B, so that. Somebody reading this, and if we jump down there, they would know that we're jumping down there for the reason that this is related to what we just did as the public hearing. Is that too complicated, or is that something you guys could do? Would you know that ahead of time, that there would be two items?
I keep thinking the common council agenda. Is the council agenda? I think the council agenda is working. So we should stay as close to that as we can.
Which is three.
And then public hearing separate.
Yeah, it's a mix of two and three. Mr. City Attorney.
How about if I just take what I heard here this evening and we'll bring back two drafts on it one more time?
I think we're darn close to filing.
Because the emphasis was different this time. Today it's public hearings. That time back then, it was everything. They were discussing everything under the sun. Now it should be simpler. Our main issue is just public hearings. How to make that clear.
That's correct.
So I think Jesse might have some ideas that's not shown here because of the emphasis.
Alderman Mayor.
Not related to these, because we beat that horse, right? Jesse's going to fix
it.
I do have a question. Is there a reason that the Plan Commission doesn't do public comment period? Citizen comment?
Never happened as long as I've been. It was, I never come up.
As the chair, my only concern is when does public comment stop and public hearings begin? What's the difference? I don't have an objection to public comment. I just did.
I think that was the concern, City Attorney, that if you have a public comment period and you also have a hearing and someone brings something up on the public comment period about an item that's on the agenda that is slated for a public hearing, I think there was a problem with that.
Well, that does occur at agendas for other boards and commissions on and at the meeting. A chairman has to handle that. Right off the top of my head, I would guess that was the reason it was never included on a plan commission, because there are so many
public hearings.
Plenty of public hearing items on a plan commission agenda compared to the common council or
it has been common practice that we have suspended the regular order of business to allow citizens to speak if the chairman recognizes or someone is agitated and wants to say something. It's at his discretion.
Well,
allow them to. We've done it and we voted and we can always vote no, not to suspend the rules.
And
it's
happened with this group.
It's happened with this group. I can't remember the last one that happened.
Well, it happened with the. Ryan Road project, when we had a whole bunch of people here, and I don't think you guys, Kevin, and I don't think you were here that meeting.
Well,
we did have a hearing in here for that.
I think leaving it the way it is okay, because other boards and commissions have it because they don't do public hearings.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We do public hearings. I'm good either way, Adam. I'm all for public speaking. So I'm good with leaving it alone. If I look around and you guys sense that I think that we ought to do it, it's up to you guys.
Can we make a motion?
Yeah.
We can move to suspend the regular order of business, and we can I think at that point, Joel, we recognize different members of the audience to speak, or we just open it up to the general audience?
Usually you say.
We have, usually a specific person, but it can be to the general audience as well. So it's at our discretion how we phrase the motion, and then it's at the discretion of the commission to say yay or nay.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
Move.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, everybody.
God, I still got 3 hours of work.
I was going to go.